God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. What does God need? The one who created the heavens and the earth? Who, if he needed anything at all, he would just have to say the word, and it would happen. What would we usually call children who seem to get everything in life? We would call them spoiled, but not so with our God. God can create anything he wants just by speaking the word, but he doesn't have everything he wants. He did, but then it was stolen from him. We may ask ourselves, well, who would be dumb enough to steal from the Almighty God? The answer to that question is the devil. Satan rebelled against God and destroyed God's creation, or basically, better yet, he stole God's creation. For humanity, this takes place in the Garden of Eden, when Satan convinces and tries to tempt Adam and Eve. They fall into that temptation, into sin, which results again in Satan stealing God's creation from him. God's creation no longer belongs to God, but now belongs to Satan. So what does God really want? God wants his creation back, plain and simple. Same as it was before, without any spot, without any blemishes, without any cracks in it. Now, if someone stole something really valuable from me, my first reaction, of course, after filling out a police report, would be to check the local pawn shops. There may be a chance that someone sold what was stolen from me, and a chance then to buy it back. Say, my laptop computer or whatever else was of value that seemed to be stolen. Well, in one essence, that's kind of what God does here. He goes to the pawn shop, so to speak, to buy back his creation. And this is done through the person and work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who now takes on human flesh and blood, lives that perfect and sinless life, suffers and dies on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, in one essence, to buy us back from Satan. Christ Jesus paid the price for us to be returned to God. This is a paraphrase, so to speak, of what Paul is trying to teach to the men of Athens in our text. St. Paul sees that the men of Athens are searching. They're yearning for something. They're searching for some meaning in their life. They're searching for their Creator, to touch their Creator. They're searching for some purpose of their being. And they are doing so with many idols, including an idol to an unknown God, just to sort of cover the bases. Here is the interesting thing. In one essence, they were kind of close, but not yet there. And the reason why I would say they're kind of close is that they were looking to something outside of them. They realized they didn't have it. They realized that they were in need, and they realized that this was important. But yet they didn't have the real answer. Not until St. Paul comes on the scene. St. Paul arrives and sees their pain, sees their agony, sees their frustration, sees the amount of energy that they spend in erecting many different idols and trying to appease these idols. So God speaks to them this message of the gospel, the good news, that Jesus Christ went to that pawn shop, so to speak, and purchased humanity back from Satan. And the good news for the men of Athens even got better. God is not in some distant place up there in heaven above. Even though we'll confess in the creed that God is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. But yet, he's not just there alone. He is also with us. St. Paul notes in our text, he is actually not far from us. And this must have been some very shattering news. For people who are frustrated with life, for people who seem to be attached to worthless things, for people spending energy and sort of spinning their wheels and going nowhere, to realize that, yes, God is with them, is joyous news. They don't have to do all that work to appease some distant God. But God comes to them. St. Paul continues, even using sort of their own words. In him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said. And then he adds, for indeed, we are indeed his offspring. St. Paul uses similar words in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And what a beautiful connecting point for us, that God has come to us. Christ Jesus has taken on human flesh and has come to redeem us. God has put his name upon us through holy baptism, and God even feeds us with his own body and blood, the Holy Eucharist, the Lord's Supper. Christ is with us. As we celebrate during the time of Advent, Emmanuel, which means God with us. But then, why in our own lives do we sometimes feel so alone? Lonely in this world with billions of people. Why is there still pain and suffering when we have the Almighty God with us? Why do sometimes our souls ache as the men of Athens had their souls aching? Fortunately, the solution for the men of Athens is also our solution. Yes, we know of the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hope that was nothing new for you. But now the connecting point. Do you believe and trust in what Christ has done? Do you believe that being connected to Christ is the one who brings you true peace? Or, after you leave here tonight, do you go looking at other idols for peace? Where do you find that peace? Does it come to you and through God's word and his sacraments? Or are you looking for that peace somewhere else in your life? Maybe a better way of connecting this point is to realize that, yes, we are temples of the Lord. Nothing wrong with our church here, its beauty, its building, its lights, sheltering us from the bad weather so that we may come to hear God's word and sacraments. We come to the sort of the sacred place where God's word is proclaimed, his sacraments are administered. But yet, do we not realize that when we leave, the Holy Spirit is still with us, that our bodies are temples of the Lord? But yet when we leave, what is the result of our actions? Do we act like the Holy Spirit is within us? Do we act as like we are moving temples of God, representing him to a world still struggling with pain and suffering? Showing God's love and forgiveness very quickly and aboundingly as Christ has forgiven and loved us? I venture to say that sometimes we want to leave God and the Holy Spirit right here at Trinity and say, yes, this is our sacred place. And so that when I go out in the world, I can go do my own thing. But notice that wasn't in the words of St. Paul to the men of Athens. Nor is it in the words of your pastor for you today. We need to realize, as Paul is proclaiming this wonderful news, we don't have a God who is far away, but a God that is with us, brings us joy that, yes, we're not alone, but for our sinful nature may make us squirm a little bit, may make us think, wait a minute, God does know all the things that I am doing. That is true. And the good news is, yes, God still loves you. So what are we to do? Well, as we take a look at our own lives, do we also realize that, yes, there are some times in our lives where our lives are filled with pain and suffering. Our lives are also filled with agony. Our lives are not at peace. And we may ask ourselves, well, what are you searching for that may seem to bring this unrest within you? I hope and pray that the answer through the Holy Spirit is to draw you back to Christ and him crucified. To realize that the people of God are connected through Christ, through his word and sacraments. People of God who now know that their bodies are the temple of the Lord. The Lord is within you. So when we leave here today, are we still the people of God? Or do we want to become our own individual self, pushing God out of our lives until the next time that we come and gather here at Trinity? You see, even God, even though that Christ Jesus died on the cross, with his death and resurrection, is still not a spoiled child. You see, even though Jesus paid the price for the sins of the whole world, bought back his creation, so to speak, from that pawn shop, it seems like part of his creation still wants to go back to the pawn shop. Part of his creation wants to go back to Satan and pushing Christ out of their lives. And when that occurs, that's when we will see the pain and the suffering coming up in our lives. Why? We were created in the image of God, not in the image of Satan. So if we are pushing God out of our lives by our very nature, we will experience that pain and suffering. By our very nature, we'll experience that longing, because who we are is to be part of God's creation. And that's what God wants. He is the one who has redeemed us. First of all, created us, redeems us, and then tries to keep us in this faith through the action and the purpose and work of the Holy Spirit. And even as Christians, we bear that name of Christ, but yet our sinful nature is strong, and we don't have a good handle on this. We can see the pain and sufferings in the lives of others and even within ourselves, and we have to ask ourselves, are we attaching ourselves back to that Creator, back to our Redeemer, the one who buys us back, and through the Holy Spirit, the one who keeps us in the faith? Is this more important than our individual lives alone, apart from the living God? Answering the question, what does God need? He wants us. God wants you, not for just 1 week, 1 hour a week, I should say, but every day, every moment, God wants to be with you. I ran across an interesting quote this week. It was from some youth who basically said, "When I feel myself fading, I close my eyes and realize my friends are my energy." It's interesting reading this quote. The first thought that came to my mind is, what happens when your friends betray you? That sometimes occurs in this world. Then where do you get your energy from? Where do you get your strength from? There is one friend who will never betray you, who will never leave you, never forsake you. Your friend, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, is with you. You may try to push him out of your life, but he still loves you, because you are the one thing that our Lord and Savior wants. He wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And he is ever working and trying to soften our hearts so that we will stop pushing him out and attach ourselves to Christ and him crucified. So this day we return to the Lord our God. We return to the true source of our strength. It's great to have good Christian friends. They can be a source of strength. But a better source of strength is the peace, the comfort, the joy, the strength, the encouragement that comes from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's grace to have good Christian friends when we are in the midst of pain and suffering there to comfort us. But realizing that our ultimate source of comfort comes through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So live your lives as one who bears the living Christ within them. Not in pain and suffering, not in a quest for truth, but in joy, knowing that you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That is what God wants. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.